All right, welcome back to another episode of Football Fan's Guide for Taylor Swift. Joey, what's going on?
What's going on, Joe? Not much.
Nothing, man. I'm very much enjoying this Taylor Swift album. This is, not at all what I was expecting. See, when she, so last week we covered 1989, when she flipped 1989 into this very bubblegum poppy thing, I was expecting more of that. What I was not expecting was a heavily hip-hop influenced album, R&B, soul kind of thing, especially from Taylor Swift. It also strikes me as lyrically her most, I guess, like edgy material to date at this point. There's a lot of like direct shots. There's a lot of sexual innuendo. Having Future on a Taylor Swift song is a fucking wild choice that I want to talk about
wild
later.
Combination.
It's just, it's interesting. And it strikes me that, so I think this is like the least, this is the worst selling Taylor Swift album, I think.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure, but I'm
dude, there's like, the streams on this album are insane.
At least at the time it was, maybe. I don't know. I heard something about this.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's not generally well received. In terms of Taylor Swift, I think it's still well received, just, you know, relative to the other stuff. And I think it's important to maybe lay down a little bit of backstory here. You had 3 years between 1989 and Reputation. In those 3 years since 1989, Taylor had been living in New York, making friends with all sorts of, let's just say, New York pop culture icons. Dated Calvin Harris, dated Tom Hiddleston, also got into some pretty big issues. So we talked a little bit about the thing where she got groped by the radio DJ a few albums ago, I think. Did I not talk about this?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, now's a good time to mention it then. So a few albums ago, I want to say around Red timing, maybe before Red. She was doing radio interviews, trying to pump up the new album, whatever it was. And at one point, she's in this pop radio station in Denver, and this jackass DJ like grabs her ass, and she like flips out. The guy gets fired. Clearly,
yeah.
There was video evidence of this happening. Pretty cut and dry.
What a wild move to lose your job over.
Hang on, it gets weirder. The guy ends up suing Taylor Swift in a defamation suit and wrongful termination, trying to like say that he didn't do this, even though it's on video saying he did or showing he did this.
Yeah.
She countersues him for a single US dollar for like defamation or whatever to prove a point to like say, fuck you.
Yeah.
So before Reputation comes out, she finally gets to trial about this thing. And the trial, like, the court manuscript of some of the proceedings of this trial are fucking wild. This guy trying to defend himself and Taylor just cold-heartedly looking into these lawyers' faces like, you're so far off the mark, like, get fucked. And so she wins her $1 civil case in court and the other guy gets fucked. And it's also around the time that, like, the Me Too movement is getting popular. So it's kind of this confluence of two things that really boost this moment of Taylor Swift into like the mainstream culture. She gets put on the cover of Time magazine in 2016, I think, as one of the Time people of the year for this case.
Mm.
I mean, it's a big fucking deal. This
yeah.
is just some of the table setting that's going on. This is also a time. So in 2016, Kanye West releases
Life of Pablo.
Which I think is, amongst Kanye fans, one of his more critically acclaimed albums. Not necessarily Graduation, but it's pretty well received.
I don't like it as much as the earlier stuff, but yeah.
It was a big Summer 16 album.
I was going to say, that being said, there's a couple songs on there that have a ton of, like, I think one or two that has like a billion or a ton of streams. And then there are some really, really good songs on that album. There's also some not so good stuff on that album.
Like the song Famous. This song is, like, super catchy, and it also includes a line that says Kanye West thinks he might still have sex with Taylor, and he made her famous.
Yeah.
So this comes out, and Taylor's pissed. She hears this, she's pissed.
How could you not be?
How could you not be? Kanye, let it fucking go, man. Let it go, regardless.
Yeah, you started it.
You started it, and you're dragging it on now.
Right.
Asshole.
Years later.
Asshole. So Taylor's publicly pissed about this. Kim Kardashian decides to release a phone call recording of Taylor talking to Kim and Kanye. Kanye being like, hey, so I have this line in there that's like, yeah, yeah, and I made her famous. And on the phone call, you hear Taylor being like, oh, I mean, yeah, okay. Something like that. Taylor hears this and fucking loses her mind. Turns out the phone call was digitally edited to make it sound like Taylor was okay with that line coming out. Kim and Kanye, or whoever they hired to do it, edited that phone call, and Taylor proved it because she was recording the call on the other end of the line.
Oh, really?
And so Taylor has the real version of the call and puts that out.
Oh, I must have missed that. That's crazy.
Then Kim goes on a fucking barnstorming tour to tear down Taylor Swift. Goes on Elle magazine, goes on TV, just slandering her. And so between the court case and the Kim Kardashian bullshit and just the general like media malaise of her being the serial dater, she's fucking fed up with everything. Late 2015, early 2016. I guess no, because Pablo came out in 16, so it would have been middle of 16. She's fucking fed up with it. Goes into hiding for like a year,
yeah.
No social media, no public appearances, no nothing. Hiding. And then kind of out of nowhere, late 2017, you get Reputation. Just kind of like she pops back online, starts putting up a couple cryptic tweets, and then suddenly the album is there. And like I said, that's all to say this is some of the most biting, like, weird, like, chilling shit she's written to date. It has completely removed that sense of, like, Disney Channel, like, superstar that I had going into the listening. Now I view her as more of a, I don't know, a grown-up, I guess. This is the moment to me that she's grown up. That's not a great segue, I guess, but general thoughts about the album.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I think there's some really good tracks on here, and I do like when it's done right, when it has, like, the EDM, like, the drop, or, like, the super heavy, like, all-over-the-place chorus. Like, I like that to an extent. What I don't like on this album is when Taylor vocally gets into, like, the rapping cadence. That's not for me. I don't want to hear Taylor Swift do a Drake cadence. Like, I think when she's doing her hooks and they're sweet on the chorus and you blend that with the EDM, it's great. I like it. I just don't want to hear – I'm just not a fan of when she does, like, the more rap kind of cadencing.
She only does it
– on a couple of tracks.
On a couple tracks.
Yeah.
I think one is good, one is not so good. And I guess we'll get into it as we go, so I don't want to, like, you know, spoil it, but – yeah, I could say it's maybe not her finest work, but it's really not her avenue either.
I like it better than 1989, though.
Yes, 100%. This is a little bit more up our alley. I was going to say, I think you will like this
more. I don't know if I like it as much as I like Red or
sure.
Even Fearless.
Sure.
But I certainly
it's
like more it
more palatable.
Than 1989.
As a whole, it's more palatable than 1989 in our eyes, just because it's a little bit more close to the stuff we listen to on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And I guess we can get into it. I just want to say here, these first six tracks are fucking heavy, man. There feels like a sharp break at track 7 in the album where it's gone from I'm pissed, fuck you, fuck everybody, into like a little bit more of the classic Taylor Swift kind of themes.
Yeah, more lovey-dovey.
Aside from the fact that there are some wildly sexual songs on the back half of this album.
Yeah.
Anyways, Reputation opens with Ready For It.
Yeah, so this is the one I really don't like when she's, like, rapping the verses. And then she sings the choruses sweetly, which I do like. But her rapping the verses, I don't like that at all.
I completely disagree.
It's not for me.
I think this is a great open. Heavy, buzzy synth right out the gate. Trap drums layer the beat with pace. Vocals follow this very hip-hop cadence, very flowy thing, almost. She's no Busta Rhymes, but it's got a flow to it. So determined and pissed off on the mic. To not have anything for 3 years and this is the first track you get, I loved it. I loved it.
That's funny. I did not like it at all.
Yeah. All right.
But I like the chorus a lot. but the I don't know, just I don't know.
Yeah, you think it's a bit of a, just the farce?
Just the rapping and the cadencing, I can't stomach it. Something
putting on
about
a mask.
It.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I don't like this next song particularly much.
Oh, see, I like this one a lot more than the last one.
Endgame featuring Ed Sheeran and Future.
So let me just start off by saying she should have canned Ed Sheeran from the feature and got Future to do two verses.
I think she should have canned Future and done Ed Sheeran for two verses.
No.
Yeah, 100%.
Are you serious?
I'm not even joking. It's the image in my brain of Future showing up to a studio to record a Taylor Swift song is so unbelievable. It's like if Mickey Mouse met Luke Skywalker.
He's perked out, sipping lean.
It's a wild fucking thing to me.
Yeah.
I don't even know how Taylor Swift goes about getting Future to do a feature.
Well, you know what's funny, too, is like the lyrical substance of Future's whole catalog is doing drugs.
Drugs, sex,
going to the strip
club.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and for Taylor to be like, oh, yeah, that's who I need on the to give me a feature is like, wait.
And so that's why I don't think he belongs here. His verse is so PG in relation to everything else he's ever done.
It's true. But I think it goes hard in the context of it being a Taylor Swift song. And go ahead.
Get Drake. Go get Drake. This is not a Future song. Future is a toxic king, and he is not at all toxic on this track.
He is very watered down.
So watered down.
Well, it's funny because the song is about, like, all three of them are singing about, like, what their ideal relationship would look like. Like, you know, their end game or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I would be on board for Future to do two verses and can Ed Sheeran.
So, I think I said when we talked a little bit about Ed Sheeran, I like this kind of flowy cadence he's got.
Oh, see, I don't.
What the fuck is this song? Is it Shape of You? Ah, it's around here somewhere. I'll find it. Bad Habits. No, whatever. Fuck. There is a popular Ed Sheeran song where he has the same flowy cadence that I think is very fun and very, like, listenable. And I think he does a good job here, too. Like, I would be open to hear more of that than, like, the strummy, like, slowed down Ed Sheeran. I think he does fine. I would take him for two verses on this one. Or just let Taylor do her thing and cut Future. Because at least Ed Sheeran makes sense to me.
No.
Anyways.
Double down on the Future.
The beat, generally, a little bit slower here. Buzzy, but a little cooled off compared to the last one. You do get pounding heavy synth drums here. Taylor does, like, the chorus and then a little verse at the end. I don't know how much she adds. That's the craziest thing to me is, like, I don't know how much Taylor really, like, makes this song awesome. As like I just really enjoy Ed Sheeran's verse. I kind of like Future's verse. And the beat is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is
a wild concoction of
it is.
Artists, though.
It's a bit Powder Puff Girls, where it's like, you remember the professor, he, like, pours the things in, and yeah. Weird concoction.
Yeah.
Can we both agree this next one is not good?
Yeah, I don't like it as much as some of the other ones. You know what's funny on this one? The next one is I Did Something Bad. She actually wrote the song on the piano.
That makes sense. I hear that. It's got this very dark, tense vibe. Like, I could hear, like, thumping heavy piano on this one if that was, like, how they wanted to do it. You don't really get much on the beat here. It's kind of this bumping, cold, low synth and some clappy synth drums. When you get to the chorus, it picks up a little bit. And I actually like the drop that goes into the chorus. Overall, though, I think the beat is kind of lackluster. And the lyrics here...
Yeah.
Strike me as a bit too edgy for Taylor Swift.
Well, so lyrically, part of it is based on and influenced by Game of Thrones. And there's references to the Game of Thrones stuff that she's talking about, which I guess... Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I've seen most of it.
All right, so she said she wrote it after Arya and Sansa conspired to kill Littlefinger, which
gotcha.
I haven't seen Thrones, but...
Yeah. With that context, it makes sense. It makes her sound like somebody who's, like, a really, like dark, evil person, and I just don't believe it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, so is that all you have on that one?
Yeah, I don't really have anything else. It's not one of my favorites.
So what's crazy is we get into a three-song stretch, all three songs over a billion streams, back to back to back on the album. That's crazy. That might be the only time that's ever been done. On a regular album, not greatest hits.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. There's no...
A billion's a lot.
Back to back to back.
A billion's a lot.
There's only several hundred tracks, like less than 1,000 tracks that have a billion streams. I think it might even be less than 500.
Yeah.
Three back to back to back on the album. Crazy. That's insane.
And that's all to say, I don't particularly care for two of these tracks.
Oh, wow. We're flip-flop on this. I really like two of these tracks, and I don't like the third one.
Okay, we're in agreement there. Let's go bit by bit. Don't blame me, the first one here. Vocals are more soulful here. It's a little bit more R&B soul kind of thing. These long humming background vocals, quiet beat, wobbly thing, kind of letting her vocals shine mostly until the chorus again. Love the vocal layering she does on the chorus. I think it's a great choice. It's all like when she does it, it's always purposeful, and I think it always adds to the track. And she does a great job of really touching both ends of her range here. Really high and really low. I think she does really good work on this one.
I'm in a total agreement with you. I love the chorus on this one. The way that it like that goes up with the music is amazing. Lyrically, comparing love to a drug has been done 1,000 times before. It'll be done 1,000 times again. But that being said, the chorus is super catchy. This is one that if it comes on shuffle, I'm definitely listening to it.
100%. Totally agreed.
So
the next one is the one we're going to debate because I don't like this one. It's Delicate.
I like this one.
So, you remember that track? I don't remember the name of it now. You remember that track where she got, like, made fun of for using auto-tune on her vocals? The guy wrote the article. And
oh, yeah, yeah. That was from one of the first albums.
And she was like, fuck you, I don't use auto-tune.
Yeah.
This is so incredibly auto-tuned that it's almost unlistenable. She does clean it up on the verses, and I think it's almost like, I could see in her head her being, like, kind of funny with this, like, I'm going to make it so over the top that it has to be funny, but it just doesn't play for me. And as a track five, it doesn't really make a ton of sense for me either. It's not biting. It's not like really like ripping somebody to shreds. It's sort of like dark and delicate, I guess, but I just don't like it. Obfuscated piano beat with thumping pop drums. Not a fan.
Yeah, I like it a lot. She's like getting into her vulnerability, saying my reputation's never been worse, so you must like me for me. You know, talking about how she's feeling about a guy, and then is it cool that I said all that? Is it cool that you're in my head? Like, she's going back and forth with herself, and that's like the genesis of the track is like she's just like going through her own anxieties and vulnerabilities.
It's an interesting thing. There's a number of Taylor Swift songs where I think the writing is fantastic, and the music just loses me, and for that it loses me.
Mm.
This is maybe a good example of that. And I would do some reordering. I wouldn't make this the track five, but yes, you're right. Good writing here. Just musically, I can't get into it, man.
And I like it musically.
But the next track, Look What You Made Me Do. I think that would be a better track five. It's a horrible song.
I think this might be the worst of all of her hits.
And this is the single off this album, by the way. This is a horrible song.
Terrible.
It sounds a little bit like some score for a Tim Burton movie that was co-opted as the beat. And she's even got this tense, kind of deliberate cadence on the verse that sounds very much like a campy horror, like the girl in the horror movie who gets killed like late in the movie.
Yeah, just her repeating Look What You Made Me Do like a million times.
In the same cadence, and listen to this. I got this from the podcast I listened to. The same cadence as I'm too sexy for my shirt.
Look what you made me do.
Too sexy for you. It's unbelievably bad.
You could torture someone making them listen to this song on repeat.
It's
5 hours.
It's her worst hit to date.
Oh, for sure.
The only redeeming quality about this track, and again, it goes back to the writing. There's a bridge section towards the end where she's having a phone call with somebody. And you can't hear the other end of the line, but Taylor says, old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Because she's dead.
Yeah.
I do like that. That gets a little, especially like it being kind of a chilling song, that gets the hairs kind of like perked up a little bit on your arm.
Yeah, fuck Kim Kardashian.
Real piece of shit. Married a real piece of shit. Fuck you both.
Facts.
Bad song. Next one, So It Goes.
Kanye might be like, the worst person, best music, like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Oh, man. So, Oh, I don't even want to get into like Ray J or not Ray J. Fucking
P. Diddy.
P. Diddy comes to mind.
Yeah, but P. Diddy's music isn't even that good.
Yeah.
Kanye's got like some truly amazing music, and he's just a truly awful person. Like, he's on both ends of the spectrum.
That's an interesting
point. P. Diddy's
point.
Music's not that good.
I'll think about that some as we're going, but that's a good point. Regardless here, quiet hovering synth kind of tensely builds up with a very buzzy, like, synth hits and clicky trap drums. Bits of piano find their way in, but overall, mostly quiet beat. Vocals are a bit more opened up, lighter. Not so, like, hammering on you. Like, I mentioned at the top, it feels like this is the point in the album where it lightens up a little bit.
Right.
And you get a little bit of that, like, sexual stuff on the lyrics here. This is the first one that struck me. There's a couple others, but this is the first one I was like, whoa, Taylor, where'd this come from?
100%. Yeah, you get the sentiment of, like, in this song, I almost got the takeaway of, like, staying in a relationship because the sex is good, you know?
Yep.
And she's got the line, getting caught up in a moment, lipstick on your face. Like, that's, you know.
Tale as old as time.
You know I'm not a bad girl, but I do bad things with you.
Yeah.
It's a new era.
Yeah, yeah. We've transitioned hard here.
Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston or Calvin for 200?
I don't even know who Tom's.
Whatever. Tom Hiddleston, Loki in the Marvel.
I don't watch that shit.
Yeah. I don't know what else he's done. Anyways,
I like Calvin Harris, though.
British actor. Yeah, the reason she broke up with Calvin Harris is kind of funny. So Calvin apparently did this interview after dating her for a while, and they asked her, like, oh, would you, like, ever collab with Taylor? And he said something to the effect of, no, I don't think that would really work.
Are you serious?
After he wrote a song for Calvin Harris and Rihanna. Wild thing to say in public, brother. Wild.
Yeah, maybe keep that one to yourself.
Keep that one in the drafts, buddy. Oh, man. Anyways.
Bro, Calvin Harris can work with anyone.
Anybody. He's a fucking DJ.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you put on the mic.
He puts out bangers, too.
Yeah, he does. Calvin Harris rocks. I don't know where the fuck you got that idea from, bud, but.
Why wouldn't you be able to work with, like. Yeah, that's.
That's a bad take.
That's a terrible take.
Anyways, next one, more sexual, which is strange, Gorgeous. This track opens with a kind of cute little line. So she's good friends with Blake Lively, married to Ryan Reynolds. The opening line on this track is Blake and Ryan's kids just saying, gorgeous. It's like a little four-year-old or something. Then you get this like kind of bright, fun beat, slightly buzzy, tuned-up keyboard with trap drums and some acoustic strums. It gives you a sense of like hope and happiness on the mic. Even the lyrics are a little bit happier. And then you get some really sexual lines at the end again. Like stuff like, you should see the things that happen in my dreams. Like, weird shit for Taylor Swift, but here it is.
Yeah, this is a love song for old Joe, who she was dating for the better part of 6 years.
Ah, yes, our introduction to Joe Alwyn.
Yeah, and most of the songs on here are between him and, like you said, Calvin and then Loki. Yeah, this one, you know what's funny, dude? Like, just reading the streams for this album, like, this song has 500 million streams. I don't really like this song at all. But, like, just the streams for this album, Ready For It, 700 million. Endgame, 500 million. I Did Something Bad, 430 million. And then Don't Blame Me, Delicate, Look What You Made Me Do, all over a billion. So it goes 170 million, which is at the lowest. Gorgeous, 500 million. Getaway Car, 650 million.
Yeah, hits, like, point made. Hits.
Crazy.
Hits. Whether or not I agree with that, hits everywhere. Yeah, that's crazy, man, but it's Taylor Swift. It's its own stratosphere.
Yeah.
Getaway Car, next track. Is this a ballad? Do you think this is a ballad? I don't know.
I don't like this song.
Quiet, sad vocals. Beat doesn't really do much until they get to the chorus, and then it's just kind of this like hovering, buzzy thing with a full drum track. Vocals kind of pick up into the mid-high range. Tinge of bittersweetness to me. Good.
We kind of talked about this 2 weeks ago. Anytime there's like a Bonnie and Clyde or like similar, like this is adjacent to that, where it's a metaphor of a speeding criminals in a speeding car for like a relationship. It's like,
yeah,
it's just not for me.
Yeah, it's been done a million times, and I don't mind it, but I don't know. I guess we'll see it. We'll see how this one goes as I listen more. All right, next one, King of My Heart. Yeah, it just struck me here. Another, like, somewhat sexual lovey-dovey track. This album really turned a corner after Look What You Made Me Do.
Yeah.
Bumping drum track here. A lot of auto-tune mixed in on the chorus. Really gives it some punch on the mic. And what is lacking in true instrumentation is made up for her with her vocals. She just, I don't know, man. It's so unique how she's able to use her voice as like truly an instrument to like build the song. The way she layers, the way she adds bits, tones, auto-tune, like she does so much with her voice, and it just adds so much on tracks like this where there's not much musically.
Well, she said on this one, each session of the song was supposed to sound like a relationship moving forward to like a different part, which is a cool idea.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is like the story of finding the right person after going through a bunch of failed relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's good songwriting. I probably won't come back to it a ton. I just don't think I'm the target audience. But
gotcha. I kind of like this one.
Yeah.
All right, next one, Dancing With Our Hands Tied. Very dancey track here. Taylor Shaw, or this is the one I was kind of cooled off on. She's got that flow again. Not as good as the first track, in my opinion. I know you don't like the first track, but
I actually like this one.
So that's funny. But anyways, bump and drum track here again. Wrong notes here. Bouncy tuned-up keyboard builds up a really cool drop in the chorus. Simple trap drums kind of fit in perfectly here, just with the dance vibe, the fun. I could totally see this one being like a Calvin Harris remix.
I was just about to say the same thing since we had just talked about it.
Awesome, like cover remix, like stage set thing.
That's certainly one of the dumbest takes we've heard.
So bad.
Yeah.
So bad. But something about Taylor brings out the dumbest things in these men, man. Oh.
The next song, very sexually charged, not for me, Dress.
Yeah, I I felt uncomfortable listening to this one. The whole bit here is that she bought a dress so some guy could take it off. I don't know, man. It's a little bit more determined, more vocal driven, very lovey-dovey, like very like sexy time song. Like, I don't know.
Sexy yeah. time song, I like that.
Nah, that's not for me.
No, me neither.
Hold on. The other note, there's even some lines where she adds in some like, and that was the most uncomfortable part of this whole song to me. So strange.
Yeah, I'm with you.
We can move on.
The next song, This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things. This is similar to Look What You Just Made Me Do. This song is trash.
I thought this one sounds a little bit like a fun song. You know, the band Fun, Tonight, We Are Young.
Oh.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like that, where it's got that, like, bumpy, fun piano thing that gets built up with, like, odd instruments. Poppy snaps, trap drums that kind of, like, completely morph into this dance-along, sing-along, fuck it kind of thing. It's a refreshing song for me this late in the album. Just something that's, like, easy listening, in my opinion. I know you don't like it, but I think this is, like, just, you could have this on and, like, kind of bump your head along.
Gotcha. After that is Call It What You Want, which is, you know, just about going through hard times, but having that one person that's always there for you. I do like this one. Sweet sound on the vocals. Pretty good songwriting.
I was going to say, the lyrics here are pretty cool. It's very reflective of the last year, 2 years. A little bit subtexty, but, like, pretty clearly addresses some things that have been going on and, like, why she's been away. You know, using her voice as an instrument here again. Shuffly, stuttery drums kind of mixed in. Conversational, serious vocals, but, like, subtle inflections. Powerful lyrically, not my favorite, like, replay song.
Yeah, I do like it for the album, though.
Yeah, 100%. Fits perfectly.
And the last song on the album, this almost sounds like it could be, like, a leftover from an earlier period of time, a little bit. Like,
yeah, this doesn't really fit.
No, not at all.
New Year's Day.
And I like the song a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of my favorites from the album.
It has no hip-hop influence whatsoever. It's basically like a folky ballad. I hear Red in this track. You know, it's simple, strummy acoustic and quiet, sad piano. She sounds beat up, reflective, like kind of bittersweetly, again, memorizing the last couple of years, but framing it in this way of like turning a new leaf. It feels like a little bit of a tease towards what's coming in a while with Folklore and Evermore. She even drops a line later in the song where she says Forevermore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not great replay value for me, but I think it's a really, really cool closer. Beautiful sound.
I actually did. I had this one saved, like, from before doing this.
Yeah, maybe it'll grow on me. I don't know, but a beautiful sounding track.
Yeah, and she uses a metaphor of lasting love to someone that, you know, you'd share a kiss with on New Year's, but then they stay the next morning to help you clean up, like, the aftermath of the party. Cool. Yeah. It's a cool track.
Good way to close this album. Strange. Yeah. In conjunction with the rest of the songs, but good one regardless. Overall, yeah, I like this probably a little bit more than 1989. Something I'll find myself going back to more. I can't get over some of these tracks.
Man, Look What You Made Me Do is so bad.
Look What You Made Me Do, Dress, and Endgame for me are just wow.
If we went through the Billions Club playlist on Spotify, I'm sure, like, find me a track that's worse than this one. It'd be hard.
Oh, I never
thought about it. I'm sure you could do it, but it'd be hard.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of songs you'd have to put ahead of it before you, like, if there's 500 songs, this finds its way down to the low 400 or the high 400s.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Anyways. Cool. So that's Reputation. The next Taylor Swift album is Lover, which I haven't started listening to yet,
same.
But would imagine is a little bit brighter. Pink kind of bubblegummy cover, so we'll see. All right, cool. Then on the other side of things, we got Audioslave coming up next week. Papa Roach mixed in with, we're going to do Luke Combs. We're going to do George Ezra and some other stuff. So that's kind of what's coming up for us in the next few weeks here. Follow us on socials, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Flip the Record. Like, review, subscribe on Apple and Spotify. Thanks for listening.
Catch you on the next one.